has done so very much for me. He forgave me all my sins, put the love of God within. Oh, I love that man from Galilee. Oh, don't you love that man from Galilee? Oh, he's done so much for you and me. Well, he forgave us of our sin, put the love of God within. Oh, I love that man from Galilee.
In a manger long ago, I know it's really so. A babe was born to save men from their sin. John saw him on the shore, the Lamb forevermore. Oh, Christ the crucified at Calvary. And went to pray in the temple there one day. He cried, "Oh Lord, be merciful to me." He was forgiven of every sin.
Hallelujah.
And a deep peace placed within. He said, "Come see this man from Galilee."
Oh, I love that man from Galilee. He's done so very much for me. He forgiven all my sins, but the love of God within. Oh, I love that man from Galilee. Hallelujah. Oh, somebody say praise the Lord. Well, isn't it good to be in the house of the Lord tonight? How many of you enjoyed services here over the weekend? Oh, what a journey we took, Brother Terry. I'm telling you, God is just so wonderful to us. And we certainly appreciate the privilege that it is to hear and to love to hear the word of the Lord. It's just a privilege to get to hear the word of the Lord. And well, we're just so glad for what God is doing in his world, in his people. I'm glad to be a Christian, aren't you? Why don't you turn around and shake somebody's hand? It's Wednesday night, but it's a good night to fellowship. Tell them you love them. Tell them you're glad to see them in the house of the Lord tonight. Brother Tracy, God bless your heart, honey. It's good to see you. Hallelujah. Let's sing that chorus together once again. Brother Harry, do us a verse. We'll do the chorus. I love that man from Galilee. Praise the Lord. Somebody say hallelujah.
The lame was made to walk. The dumb was made to talk. That power was spoken with love upon the sea. The blind was made to see. I know it could only be the mercy of that man from Galilee.
Well, I love that man from Galilee. He's done so very much for me. He's forgiven all my sins. That's the Holy Ghost within. Oh, I love that man from Galilee. Praise the Lord. Let's look at our prayer requests tonight. If you'll stand with me just for a few minutes. Sister Ruth Ann Carter sends us in to please pray for Brother Jack Porter from Withfield, Virginia. He had a heart attack and he needs bypass surgery. He lost his job, has no insurance, could lose his house. So they're asking that we would remember that need tonight. Well, I know this. Our Father owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. And He holds the wealth of this world. He can do what He wants to. So we just commit that need unto the Lord. God's able to fix that situation. We just pray that He would. Brother Daniel Barclay wants us to pray for Brother Mike Pierce. He's still in the hospital, so let's remember our brother in prayer. Also, Brother Barclay's mother having eating problems, in need of prayer, so let's pray for that need tonight. Brother John Meadows' mother, after her fall on the 14th, she suffered a fall, but prayer was made, and she has no more pain. And she wants to thank everybody for praying for her. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Brother Robert Dickerson had to have his toe amputated. He is in room 86 at Appalachian Christian Village. So if you get the opportunity to see Brother Dickerson, I know he would certainly appreciate that. I want to pray for Sister Samuels. She's in Trinidad visiting family. And while she was there, her sister's husband passed away suddenly. So they're asking that we would remember that need tonight as we pray, that the Lord would just be mindful unto them. And I mentioned just a minute ago, but here's a note that we certainly want to welcome Brother Tracy back into the service. God bless our brother tonight. Amen. Certainly appreciate him. Please pray for Andrew Kennedy. He became ill on the way to church. The family had to return home, so let's pray for that need tonight. Charity Laster sends this in. Please pray for Brian Armstrong. He was involved in an accident where an 18-wheeler truck tire flew off and hit him. They said that it basically went through him. He is in critical care. They said he's broken in a lot of places, and they cannot find any brain waves. So let's pray for that need tonight, that person that's just at the mercy of the Lord. Let's just pray that God would have His divine will in his situation. Special unspoken prayer request tonight for Brother Kifa and his wife from East Africa. So let's remember that need tonight. I want to pray for Sister Susan Olive. She's had to miss a lot of church due to an illness, so we want to remember her in prayer as we pray. And I'll just take the time to read this. This is from Brother Charlie Therese and family. Crossing a barrier separating me from most brothers and sisters here, I wish to say, may the blessings of the Lord overflow in the lives of all those who attended, as well as those unable to be there, in helping us to celebrate the joyful occasion of my 90th birthday last Sunday. And in a more intimate and meaningful way, I am more than grateful to you for the opportunity to share the gift of mercy and love to glorify our Lord. To God be the glory, Brother Charlie and family. Brother Charlie, we love you, buddy. God bless you. Ninety years young, but he acts like he's about 17. We appreciate our brother. All the unspoken prayer requests tonight, if you have a need, something you'd like for this assembly to pray about. We know that we're serving a prayer answering God, don't we? Brother Gene Lehman, why don't you come tonight? Let's invite the presence of the Lord into the service. Take these requests to the Lord. Commit everything unto His divine will. God love you, buddy. Appreciate you.
Just bow our heads. Father, we want to invite you into the service tonight. We want you to have control of our heart, of our being, that our ears will be open to hear what you would have for us, God. And most of all, we want you to come down and sit among us, Lord, that we'll know, God, that we have been in your presence, God. And the reason we'll know is because we brought part of you, I brought with me, and I know there's many others here, God, that have brought you here. Little licks of fire, God. So tonight, God, we just want to thank you today, God, for a place to come and worship, a place where we can hear the truth, God, a place, God, where that the Word of God will bring us to our place that you wanted us before there was ever a world, God. Before, when you back in the back of your mind, God, and you knew who we were and who we would be and when we'd be here. You knew this night, you knew I'd stand here this night, God, and honor and praise you tonight, Father. I thank you tonight, God, because you called me and because that there's something down in my soul, God, that desires to hear the word of God, Lord, to learn of you and learn of your personage, God. Father, there's something down inside of us, God, that is aching, God, to come home. And I know, Father, that there's maybe seeds out there yet that, Lord, that needs to come in. Lord, I'm sure of that. But God, I pray tonight, God, that you would move in a mighty way in our lives today, God, that we'd live a life, God, before these, the people, God, that they would know, God, that we are Christians. That we do have something in our life, God, that others don't have, Lord. And they want that, and we desire that they have it, and we would like to give it to them, Father. And Lord, I hold things, these requests in my hands. This is part of all of it. God is healing. You died for our healing. It's the healing's in our body. Oh, you dropped your blood upon this earth, God, and that ought to have been the atonement for it, Lord. So we're glad tonight, God, that we've got healing in our, and healing is true and it's real. But the man said if healing wasn't right, then the resurrection, there wouldn't even be one. So God, we believe tonight that these requests can be answered tonight, God. They've already been heard, God. It's just our faith needs to reach out tonight and take a hold, God, and you will perform that needs to be done, God. I believe that in my soul tonight, God. I ask that you'll bless this service. Bless Brother Donnie tonight, God. I pray you'll set him and wear him out tonight, God. Because, Lord, I know that he studies, and I know he comes with an intention, God, that he can lead us, God, and I want to be led. If I couldn't be led, then I wouldn't be a sheep. But, Lord, I know that I'm one of your sheep, and I want to hear your word. Bless the congregation tonight. Bless every hand that was raised tonight, God, that there may be needs among us tonight, Father. You know every need and every heart, I pray. In Jesus' name, God.
Amen. God bless you. Ushers, if you'll come at this time, we'll receive the evening offering. If you're visiting tonight with us in the service, we want to welcome you. Glad to have you here. Those that are streaming the service tonight, may God richly bless our brothers and sisters from around the world that stream in these services. Pray they'll be a blessing. There'll be a youth meeting, a prayer meeting tomorrow evening here at the church for 13 and up. It will begin at 6:30. So remember that a youth prayer meeting tomorrow evening here at the church at 6:30 for those 13 and up. So remember that. Let's sing a song tonight. 10,000 years. We'll just be getting started. Somebody say praise the Lord.
10,000 years. We'll just be started. Begun. All our battles are over.
Yes, we will.
It is a song that the holy angels cannot sing.
They cannot sing this song.
I've been redeemed.
Yes, we have.
By the blood of my precious
Hallelujah.
Savior. And 10,000 years and more, I'll reign.
Glad I believe that tonight, aren't you? Amen. Praise the Lord. I'm going to let you be seated tonight. We're going to have a couple of songs, and we're going to get right on out of the way. Brother Hubert's going to come tonight, give us a song. We'd love to hear him. I heard him the last time, and the only time I heard him sing, and he done a good job. And a hidden talent after all these years. We love our brother, don't we? Give him a nice hand tonight as he sings.
I don't need to walk on water. A bridge was built for me. I don't need to walk on water. A bridge was built for me. God gave His Son who gave His life on a cross at Calvary. Now I can walk in faith. I'm sheltered safe because of what God did. I don't need to walk on the water. Used to think that I could handle this life on my own. And I never dreamed I'd need someone to help me through life's storm. But God knew I could never cross the darkened rage you see. So He made a way for my escape upon that old rugged tree. Now I don't need to walk on the water, 'cause a bridge was built for me. God gave His Son, who gave His life on a cross at Calvary. Now I can walk in faith, I'm sheltered safe, because of what God did. I don't need to walk on water, I have a breath. Now it's an old familiar story, how the Savior walked the sea. He called out to Peter, "Won't you come and walk with me?" Now sometimes my faith, it can get so low, it's down to sink or swim. But I can rise above all those angry waves. I have a bridge, it's Him. Now I don't need walk on water, a bridge was built for me. God gave His Son, who gave His life on a cross at Calvary. Now I can walk in faith, I'm sheltered safe, because of what God did. I don't need walk on water, I have a bridge.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Brother Kenneth, Brother Lenny, and myself are going to try to sing his song tonight. We went to the nursing home to see Brother Tracy last night, and he had already left. And Brother Tracy, nobody else there wanted us to sing a song, so we just left. So we went to Ivy Hall and sung some songs for my sister Beulah. And I just kind of give you a little testimony as to how it's amazing how a person with Alzheimer's, you just about every song that we sung, she sung word for word for word. Didn't miss a word. And then we got ready to leave, and she told Brother Kenneth, she said, "Pray for John. He's upstairs." That's her husband. And of course, he's been dead since in August. That just shows you how mind, Alzheimer's, how it does you. But we thank God that He's got it all in control. We don't know the situation of a lot of people, but I do know this. God has got it all in control. We'll sing a song for you tonight. Do You Know Grace? Hope it'll be a blessing to you. Wayne Phillips asked us to sing this song, so we're going to dedicate it especially to him. Do you know grace? I'm glad I do. Amen.
I was down as low to make it go. Had no strength of my own. Everything I had worked for all my life, everything I love was gone. The lowest valley of my life, I was flat on my face. But the great hand of Jesus reached down and picked me up. Oh yes, I know grace.
to know about the grace of God, church. When it comes time for him to take his bride to that evergreen shore, and he chooses both you and I to live in that land forevermore. When we've been there 10,000 years, and you see me in that place, oh, you can ask me this question again. I'll say yes, I remember grace. Sing it with us.
Do you know grace? Amazing grace. Have you heard how sweet the sound?
Look where you came from and where you are. And I'll ask you, do you know grace? Look where you came from and where you are. And I'll ask you,
stand together. I not only know grace, but that's my new name. Praise the Lord. Revelation chapter 20, verse 7. What we're going to look at tonight is almost overwhelming, almost unbelievable, incomprehensible, but yet true. Revelation chapter 20, verse 7. When the 1,000 years are expired, Satan will be loosed out of his prison. He shall go out to deceive the nations, plural, which are in the four quarters of the earth. Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle. The number of whom is as the sand of the sea. And they went up on the breadth of the earth and compassed the camp of the saints about and the beloved city. And fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, I pray tonight, Lord Jesus, that you would enlighten us, dear God. I can't say that I fully comprehend how people could live in such a world and yet turn out to be in such a way. Yet as I've studied this and looked at it, it does help me to understand how people can backslide away from truth that we have in this day. So I pray, Lord, that if there would be one here tonight that would be looking back toward the world or looking away from the ark of safety, or one that will hear this, may they realize, Father, their safety is only in the provided way of this day. Lord, in accepting you as the atonement and believing the word of God for the hour, help us, I pray, Father. In Jesus' name. God bless you, saints. You may be seated. I want to speak to you tonight on... Okay. Bill Lewis said he forgot to mention communion service will be this Saturday night. So come expecting the Lord to be with us and move in that service for us. I want to speak to you on after the millennium. During this time of the 1,000 years, sin's true nature will be expressed. God, through different dispensations, has allowed man to live. The first one, innocence, conscience, law, grace. It'll all wind up in the millennium. And we hear so much about society and environment that people live in, that if people could have a better environment, they could live close to God. If it was not for this and this and this around them, that they could be a Christian. If it was not for the influence of bad people, I could be a better person. If it was not for smoking and drinking, and if it wasn't for that old cursed internet. But the millennium will disprove all of the above. Now, there's many reasons, no doubt, that God has for setting the millennium up, and we know that the reign must continue on as it was put on a hold. But during this time, it will be the rule of Jesus and His bride on the earth. We will be here in glorified bodies, and there will be millions, no doubt, of people that will be on the earth in human bodies. And yet, under the reign of the Son of David, they will be made to comply. Many of them will not accept from the soul this Davidic kingdom and be changed by the power of God that will be on the earth to help those type of people. And yet some of them will and many of them won't. Maybe some of them will and they will believe for a season. And then once Satan is loose out of his prison, they will turn and go the other way. Now you say, how in the world could people who have lived on this earth in a kingdom like the millennium will be, when there will be no evil, there will be no sin, no one will die, there will be no death, there will be no heartaches, no suffering, no difficulty of any kind. It will be an absolute perfect kingdom. But yet these people, many of them will, at the end of that kingdom, will make up their mind that they do not wish to serve the Lord Jesus. They will allow themselves to be deceived and gathered under this satanic power. Now, look at this. When John wrote this, when the 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison. Now, the expiration of the 1,000 years will be the termination or the restraint on Satan for being bound. Now, you imagine when he comes out of that prison, he's going to be madder than a hornet. He ain't going to be playing games. He's not going to be looking for a peace treaty. He's looking for people, because he's been deprived from people for 1,000 years. What really brings him to his ability to accomplish what he wanted to accomplish is not angels. It's not just the earth, but it's people. He must have people in order to do really what he wants to do. For 1,000 years, he has been deprived of people. People have been on the earth, millions of them. They're not converted. They're not saved. They're not regenerate people. And yet he has been kept from them by this chain of circumstance. And whenever he is loosed, oh my, John said he was loosed out of his prison. So the restraint will be taken off from wickedness. Now, the people have lived in a perfect environment. They have lived in a restored Eden like it was in the Garden of Eden, except for there will be people living on the earth in glorified bodies, and the Lord Jesus will be upon the earth in a natural throne. But remember, it was in a perfect setting that Satan was able to deceive our mother Eve. So Eve could not say, well, it was television, it was billboards, it was internet, it was whiskey, it was smoking, it was drinking, she was in a perfect environment. Society was not wrong, because there was no society, only God's society. So it will come down that the millennium once again will prove that people cannot live right. Now, can you imagine what a rebuke that the bride is to that claim? If it wasn't for so-and-so and so-and-so and so-and-so, and yet the bride lives right in spite of all hell. Eve could not live right in a perfect paradise, and yet you're living right in Satan's Eden.
That don't mean you're free from mistake or free from trouble. The circumstances aren't good. Let's just face the facts. The circumstances are against you. Your genes are against you living right. Your nature is against you living right. The world is against you living right. Politics is against you living right. Everything around you is against you living right. But everything in you is for you living right. Hallelujah! Aren't you glad you don't have to wait till the time of the millennium to make your choice? Listen, young people, you ought to thank God that there's something inside of you. You're not waiting for the millennium to make your choice. You're not waiting for a perfect society. You're not waiting for a perfect government. But you have already, because of God's grace, made your choice to serve Him in the worst age, the darkest age, the most farthest age away from God. And yet you say, I will serve you in the greatest hour. Amen. I will serve you in the darkest hour that's ever been. I'll serve you if mama don't go. If daddy don't go. I don't care who don't go. I'll serve you. You imagine as the shadows begin to set on the millennium reign. For 1,000 years, there's been peace. No war, no death, no suffering, no dying. And yet, the last day of the 1,000 years rolls around. Remember, it types the ark as Ham was in the ark with Noah. He was saved from the flood, but later to perish. These people would have been saved from the thing of death because they will not die during the millennium. But they will make their choice after they come out and Satan is loosed. There they will decide, I don't want to serve him. I'm sick of this kingdom. I'm sick of it. Reminds me of folks today, you know, that they're looking for all kinds of excuses and want to go back here and want to go back there. Look, friend, I'm convinced already, if it's not down inside of folks by predestination, there ain't much chance. Now, there'll be people that'll be saved. We know that. But you know what? It's really going to be the grace of God even for them. Watch this in Question and Answers 1964. Brother Ben says, at the end of the 1,000 years, Satan will be loosed out of his prison. That is bound by an angel with a chain. Not a log chain, but a chain of circumstance. All of his subjects was in hell. All that was resurrected on the earth was redeemed in Jesus with him. He couldn't work on nothing. Now, imagine. But at the end of the 1,000 years, the second resurrection. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection, over which the second death hath no power. Now notice, in this second resurrection, when they come up, Satan's loosed out of his prison for a little season, then the judgment is set. He will come up so angry, so bitter, so mad at God, a last and final time, he will try to reestablish his kingdom. He will go forth with the full power. Notice, being in this prison has not made him any better. It has not weakened him. It has not made him more considerate of his ways. He will come out still the same deceiver that he was when he went into this prison. He will come out with the same enmity against God, the same anger with God. Look, friend, don't you understand how people can sit around the church for years and years and years and years, and we hope they'll change. We pray they will change, and we pray, oh, God, may this be the service. Oh, God, may that be the service, that it'll change it. But you know what? Unless their name is on that Lamb's Book of Life, they're not going to change. Unless their name is on that book, they'll never become a part of that word. Look at the devil, having all these 1,000 years to think about it. He's thinking about it, all right. He's thinking about how many people's up on that earth, and he can't get to a one of them. And when he comes out, he's good to go. He's ready. And he goes right back in the same old tactic that he did before. My. Notice this. God permits Satan to come out of his prison. Now, here will be the final dispensation of time. That all the accusations that people, and apparently Satan has apparently mentioned something about this to God. There's been things said down through time to God, and God will quell this. God will stop this. It will be proven that environment alone will not change the human heart. It will be proven where Satan has thrown it in God's face, or people have said it about God. If it wasn't for this and wasn't for this and wasn't for this, I'd live right. He has a reason for allowing this to be done. So he will absolutely stop all excuses. He will stop all those who say, well, if it wasn't for so-and-so, I never really had a chance. I was born this way and that way. But you know, they will come up in the millennium and have an absolute perfect environment and still won't be able to live right. Oh, my Lord. Now think, every possible condition has been reversed in the cycle of death. There is absolutely no sin on the earth. There's no honky-tonks. There's no beer joints. There's no cigarettes. There's no hospitals. There's no clinics. There's not, nobody's starving. Nobody's robbing banks. Nobody's cursing. Nobody ever gets mad. Lord, have mercy. Woo! Ain't no temper fits. Ain't nobody gossiping. Lord, that sounds like heaven to me. Man alive, just to be where there ain't nobody gossiping, that'd be something, wouldn't it? You know, I mean, we ain't heard nobody gossip for 1,000 years. Ain't been nobody run over, nobody. Nobody's got killed. Nobody's got mad. Nobody's got murdered. Nobody went through any kind of things like that. And yet, at the end of that, they say, I hate you, Jesus. I hate your bride. I hate this kingdom. I hate the way you do things. Don't you understand? We're dealing with the same type of people. Only now it's in the kingdom of God. Then it will be in the kingdom of heaven on the earth. But kingdom principles do not change because of location. The kingdom of God is now a mystical, invisible kingdom that abides in the hearts of those that are truly baptized with the Holy Ghost. And when people make fun of what we stand for and what we believe, it's not us. It's kingdom principles. I'm talking about if we're saying what the Word said. Now, if we're saying our own opinion, then they got a right to make fun of us, because who knows what we believe as human beings. But if it's kingdom principles that we're setting forth, the kingdom principles are the same when He was immortal, invisible, the only wise God. They're the same in the kingdom of God, in the kingdom of heaven, and in the eighth day. So they rejected in the kingdom of God under the rule of the baptism of the Holy Ghost. They rejected as the kingdom of heaven under the rule as the son of David. But under the very same conditions that Adam and Eve walked out in a perfect paradise, millions and millions of people will rebel against the Lord Jesus. They will be so indignant and so angry, they will actually come against you in glorified bodies. You're talking about being deceived. Oh my. Notice this. Man failed under innocence. He failed under the law. He failed under conscience. He failed under the family, which was Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, and so on. He failed under the dispensation of grace. He failed under the 1,000 years of peace. Every dispensation that God allowed man to live in, man proved that he cannot live right without a supernatural intervention. Now watch this. Brother Ben said, now there will be a camp meeting of the saints upon the breadth of the earth. Now notice the bride's going to be right here during this reign. There will be a camp meeting of the saints upon the breadth of the earth, and Satan is loosed out of his prison and goes to make war again with the saints. Now how can that be possible if you're in heaven? The bride is not in heaven during the millennium, she's on the earth. Because these people are not going to heaven to make war with you, they're coming to Jerusalem. Glory. They're going to be looking for them sons of God that wouldn't let them have rain because they missed church. Come looking for me, pal. I'll be in a glorified body. Come on. My, they're going to remember all them things. I had to go to church. I had to do this. I had to do that. Boy, if they could do it, they'd probably put something on the website. Don't worry about that. There won't be no websites then. Oh, why I left the message. Part 37 on YouTube. Why I left the message. Why I left the millennium. Bunch of knotheads. Same kind of spirit on them, ain't it? Oh yeah, if they had the time to do it, they'd put a video on YouTube why I decided to serve the devil after the millennium. The same mentality of some of the people deciding to leave the message. You take them same people out of there and put them in this church, they do exactly the same thing. Take some of the same people out of the message and put them over in the millennium, they'd do the same thing. They'd rebel against Jesus. You're not rebelling against me, friend. You're not rebelling against Brother Branham. We're rebelling against God when we leave God's word. Oh my, Satan is loosed out of his prison and goes to make war again with the saints. Just exactly what he done in glory to begin with. just exactly what he done in glory, made war with the saints. That's something to think about, ain't it? Again, with the saints, just exactly what he done in glory to begin with. And then God rains fire and brimstone out of the heavens. Now, in one sense, the millennium will sum up all of the dispensations by which God has chosen to deal with man, and proven in every dispensation, whether grace, law, conscience, innocence, whatever it is, that man cannot live this by himself, even though they will choose to. But watch this. A perfect environment cannot change a human heart. Only supernatural. Now here there's even no devil on the earth. And these people cannot be changed by government. Raise your children right. Teach them the right things. Let them hear tapes going at home. Let them have the right kind of music going. But friend, they've still got to be born again. And listen to me, no matter how right you raise them and how much you train them, they still have to choose to walk down this path themselves from their soul, or they will not be able to do it. And don't feel like you're a miserable failure because your children don't follow exactly in your steps. God never set it up that way. It is under a dispensation of grace, and every individual must make their own choice. You cannot choose for your children. You can't choose for your grandchildren. They must make that choice and say, I will serve him come what may. It don't mean you failed. Does it mean Jesus failed in the millennium? Answer me. Does it mean Jesus Christ was a complete failure in the millennium because these people left? Of course not. The failure is not in him. It's in their own choice. They choose to go this way. Oh, God. Oh, my. You imagine now. Look at this verse 8. And shall go out to deceive, not the bride, but the nations. Now, who will it be? I have no idea. God knows exactly who it'll be. Will it be American Indians? Could be. Will it be Iraq? Prior to the gospel? I don't know. But whoever it is have not heard it before. So they'll be getting their chance. Because if God raises up anybody and gives them a second chance, he'll have to raise up all people and give them a second chance. So this is people with no chance at all. And in that, they will be given a chance under a different approach. It'll be under a millennium kingdom instead of the kingdom of God by the baptism of the Holy Ghost. So in that, they will actually see with their eyes. It will not really be a faith choice. It won't be them serving an invisible God and living for an invisible, omnipotent power that they've never seen or never felt. They will actually see him on the throne. They will see you in glorified bodies. They will see all this going on the earth. They will actually make their choice by sight. Oh, my goodness. He shall go out to deceive the nations which are in the four quarters of the earth. Gog and Magog, together, them together to battle. Wow. So 1,000 years prior to this, they beat their swords and weapons into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. And now here they are ready to fight again. That sounds like church folks. Man alive, after Sunday service, they're hugging one another. We'll never fuss again. And by Tuesday, they're already in another big row. Together them together to battle, the number of whom is as the sand of the sea. We're not talking about 15 or 20 folks that's going to leave the millennium message. We're talking about millions. People that will be in such a vast number, it will be like the sand of the sea. Notice the Bible says first, before gathering them, he deceives them, which always comes first. You can't gather that which you cannot deceive. So first, you deceive them. How? I have no idea. Will be the same line in the beginning? I don't know. What will he tell them? I have no idea. But he will actually deceive nations on the outside of the city. He will gather them as the sand of the sea. So first, a deceit comes upon the new earth, or the purged earth. He will deceive them, whether by lies, by signs, by wonders, or just simply by their unconverted heart, offering them an alternative. Just simply saying, do you want to go into eternity with this? Do you want to go into eternity with this rain? where you're told you've got to go to church, you've got to do this, you've got to do that. Is that what you want for eternity?
Come on now.
Nah, he'll rally them. Oh, it'd be like a Republican convention. Or a Democrat, whichever you are. My, they're all, yay, yay, rah, rah, yay! Millions of them. Millions of them will rally. Deceived. Deceived in their hearts. Why? Their hearts were not changed. They come to church for 1,000 years. Believe the message for 1,000 years. Mama lived in a reign of Christ for 1,000 years. And yet an instant. How long will it be? An hour, 2 days, 5 weeks? I have no idea. But it will sweep the four quarters of the earth. Let me tell you something, children. I don't care how long you've been around. I don't care how much you think you know. There's only one safe place. That's in Christ Jesus. There ain't none of you can sit here tonight and brag, I've been around the message, I've done this. There's only one place that we're saved by the Skip, under the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Oh God, if God don't hide me, I wouldn't want to meet this kind of enemy on my intellect. I wouldn't want to meet this kind of enemy on my gift to preach or my gift to pray. I would only want to meet him one way, and that is sealed by the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Notice this, he, and he shall go out to deceive the nations, which are in the four quarters of the earth. Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle. Now notice, Gog and Magog are mystical names, of course, in Ezekiel 38. For those of you that have already read this and be reading ahead of me, you know that Gog and Magog would actually be gathered prior to this, the natural fulfillment of this. They will be gathered on the other side of the millennium, but which will be Russia, the Gentile kingdoms. But here the mystical name of Gog and Magog is used again. Now, it's not the same battle because in Ezekiel 38, they come from the north, which is Russia. But here, they don't come from the north. They come from the north, the south, the east, and the west. So they come from all four quarters of the earth. But notice, he will gather them to this great place. And Gog is connected with the Hebrew root word, which means covered. So they will come. They are now deceived. And they will en masse by the millions. And they know exactly where to go. Jerusalem. And they're not actually even against the converts, nations, that have accepted this reign. They're out for the bride. Notice who they're after. The saints and the beloved city. Now, no doubt there may be other cities, there may be other towns and so on and other places. That's not the one they're focusing on. Can't you see the devil? He projects into them his own motive and purpose again, as it's always been from the beginning. Get Jerusalem. Can't you see his desire to destroy the real church? It's not the world church that he hates. He owns that. It's not the politics. It's not the governments of the earth. It's not the monetary system. It's the same thing over and over again. God's principal seat of government. What does he attack it under the dispensation of the Son of God? Who does he go to? Does he want the Vatican? Of course not. He owns it. He going down to the Church of God, a prophecy down in Cleveland, Tennessee, and try to get them? Of course not. That's part of his affiliation. Who does he want? That true church, Jerusalem. Oh, God. Notice this. So rebellion proves that the rule of a perfect kingdom cannot subdue an unregenerate heart. Here is an absolute perfect kingdom for 1,000 years, a perfect rule and reign. And that cannot change people. Having long hair, long dresses, all the do's and the don'ts and the do's and the don'ts that we project in the message can never change people's hearts. But if they ever get changed, the do's and the don'ts ain't legalism to them. They're grateful for it. Amen. If my husband don't want me to do this and he does want me to do that, I want to do it because he wants me to. Oh my. So here he comes, loosed out of the bottomless pit. I mean, like a ravening beast. He goes forth in his deceptive power and he makes all these trips back and forth across the earth preaching. Oh yeah, he's a preacher. Anointed one too. Yes, sir, thou art the anointed cherub, and I have set thee so. So he'll come forth and my, he'll go about in such a quick thing, and he will have a mass revival. It will be the greatest revival the world has ever known. He will get millions of converts in this short time. And what's amazing is the Lord Jesus is letting it go on. It ain't going on by surprise, going on behind his back. Well, I don't know what's going on. Sure, he knows what's going on. Here we are just on the earth. You know, the 1,000 years has expired, and we're just saying, oh, Lord, what's next? Well, hang tight, bride. Of course, we're going to know what's next. We're in glorified bodies. See, y'all just hang around church here. Now, you believe whatever you want to believe. I'll tell you one thing. When this happens, I wouldn't want to be outside of Jerusalem if I was you. I wouldn't want to be over Gog or Magog or Tegog or No Gog or Hagog or whatever they are. I wouldn't want to be in the four quarters of the earth. Hey, if there's going to be a battle going on, I want to be in the holy city. Amen. If there's a battle going on, I want to be in Jerusalem. If all hell's fixing to break loose in America, I want to be identified in the bride. I want to be identified where she is because I know he'll protect her. I don't think, friend, I don't think people understand the significance of being identified with the body. It's not just going to a place of worship. It's not just going to a building. It's not getting ready 3 times a week or 2 times a week, whatever it is, and combing your hair and taking a shower and all that, and coming in and sitting down at this place. It's an identification that you are sending a message to hell and to heaven. I am identified under the auspices of this word. Amen. I am identified with what's being stood for in this hour. I want the devil to know, and I want God to know where I stand. My. So here he comes with his great preaching campaigns. And he convinces them, come on, let's go. Y'all ready? Yes! Will we annihilate them? Yes! I'm going to destroy Jesus Christ. I'll kill him. I'll annihilate him. We'll destroy his people. But friends, if he's going to deceive them, he's not going to tell them, now look, I'm fixing to be whipped and y'all are too. He's fixing to throw fire down out of heaven and y'all fixing to get smoked like a pancake on a griddle. He's deceived them. He's told them something that is not true. Praise the Lord. Oh my. After 1,000 years living in the presence of the King. They've seen the earth, the desert, totally be transformed. No doubt they walked out as they were raised up in their bodies at the dawn of the millennium day. And they looked over and said, where is this? This used to be in the desert of Namib. This used to be in Sudan. This used to be, really? Look at the vegetables, the flowers, the roses. This used to be desert. Yes. You used to live here. Or your people lived here thousands of years ago. This was a desert. What happened? He brought her back up like this. And the temperature is the same around her. Oh my. You mean this used to be a desert. This used to be barren rocks. This used to be, what happened? The reign of the Son of David. My, all these millions of people on the earth, where are we getting all of our food from? The earth is producing at such a bounty unlike anything we have ever known for thousands of years. For 6 millennia, it has never brought forth the abundance of the crops. You plant a little handful of seed, my goodness, it takes 40 barns to hold the residue of it. You plant one little watermelon and you got watermelons from here to Toledo and back. You plant one row of corn, it's blossoming and blooming everywhere. Roses is coming up everywhere. There ain't no briars. There ain't no nettles. There ain't no black widow spiders to bite you. There ain't no mean killing tiger. And they have have lived on the earth. They have labored on this earth and they've enjoyed it. They themselves have lived to be 1,000 years old. But he will come with all of his power and will deceive them. This is our chance. We can do it. There's more of us than there are of them. Are you sure? Yes, I'm sure. Anybody with me? Anybody with me? You want to stand with me? We can take this. And I'll finally be God. I won't make you go to church. You don't want to go to church? Fine, I won't make you go. I won't make you have long hair and long dresses and, you know, you're identified as going to the skirt church. If you're a man and you want to marry a man, I'll let you marry a man. I ain't got no problem with that. You're a woman, you want to marry a woman, go ahead and marry one. I don't care. I'll let you do whatever you want to do. So no more do's and don'ts and the Sabbath day and the Feast of Tabernacles. All that stuff's done. You elect me and I'll be your man. Oh, wait a minute. I got into the presidential election there, didn't I? Same spirit on both sides. The devil controls all the government. Whether you're in England or Canada or the United States, wherever you are, he controls it all. Woo! Boy, some of you folks get quiet when I go to mention that. Oh my. Now notice, verse 9. And they went up on the breadth of the earth and compassed the camp of the saints. And this word camp is castle. Now is it, will he go down the avenue that God has picks and God has favorites? Look at you all. What have you had to do for 1,000 years? You've been out here raising crops. And look at them. They got to live in the city. At Dykes. Fancy. And what did you have to do? You had to go out there and labor and all that. And had to bring your tithes into the beloved city. Because they're the bride. I believe these are respectful persons. It's apparent. Why aren't all of you living in the city? How come just a certain ones are in that city? Now you see, things like this appeal to the fallen, unregenerate human nature. Well, that does make sense. I hadn't quite thought of it that way. I wonder what the difference was. Well, look at them. Here they are and they've got a glorified body and you're stuck with a human body. They all the time get to be around him and you get to go up every now and then. And if you do miss church, he sends one of his little smarty pant preachers down here and tells you you ain't getting no rain. Does that sound fair to you?
That's me, but apparently not them.
Of course, since I'm speaking from the inside view, that does make a difference. I don't think outside view. I don't live outside view. That's because I ain't outside view. I think inside view. I read inside view. I folk inside view. Cause just guess what? Because I'm inside view. Whatever he tells them, friends, they'll be so, so convinced. And they will rally by the millions. They will be such a landmass of human movement on the earth. Quite unlike anything that's ever been seen. 1,000-year-old men. 1,000-year-old women. And they're not just barely old age and crippled. They're 1,000 years old, but they don't look it. You think they'd stop and think, who made me to live like this? Who made me to live 1,000 years old and I look like I'm 20?
Now, to me, I look at it, if I've been on the outside, I think, you know what? Here I am 1,000 years old. How could I get to be 1,000 years old? Apparently, I'm a different category of people than their people are. But I don't even deserve this. Man, I'm not turning against him. I don't even deserve this. I should have been annihilated, destroyed, or whatever more. But he gave me this. He allowed me to be this way. I'm going to take sides with him. Oh, glory to God. Don't you understand? There will be people there and they will look around and they'll recognize, what? I don't deserve this. I was an American Indian. I was a Choctaw. I was a Sioux. I've done this and that and the other. I was an absolute heathen. And he gave me a chance in the millennium. I'm making my choice with him. I'm rallying around the Son of David. I'll stand with him. Now you imagine the tragedy that this will bring. Once again, in this final dispensation of time, it proves the inability of man to withstand the onslaught of such a being like this from being deceived by him. Innocence didn't do it. Conscience didn't do it. Human government didn't do it. All the dispensations, grace itself did not wipe it away, because many of us know under the grace dispensation we made some of the dumbest mistakes a person could make. And it still leaves us vulnerable. Come on. Because our spirit and our flesh is still vulnerable to be deceived by Satan's means. Come on, let's say amen. But yet you, these people with their entire being living here in this type of a situation, and nothing has been done in the soul per se. It is only a kingdom of government. And in that government, they've had the opportunity to make their choices like you did in the Son of God. And in that, they will say, no, no, Lord Jesus. Now watch what happens. They went up on the breadth of the earth and compass the camp of the saints about and the beloved city. Now this is where the governments went forth from. Can't you see, if Satan cannot convince you that there's not a God, then he'll try to convince the order by which God projects his government. Can't you see why so many folks wonder, I don't know if Brother Bram is still a prophet or not. Don't you understand what he's doing to you? If you're not sure that this man appears a prophet, then every preacher underneath that prophet, you're going to consider a liar. Then if you're not careful, the whole thing will backfire on you, and then you'll wonder if God's even God or not. So what is it? Same old tactic under the dispensation of Son of God as it will be under the dispensation of Son of David. Attack the government. Remember, Brother Ben Joseph's in Spoken Words, Original Seed. You can only serve God on earth as God's servants that sent on earth interpret God's word to you. Listen to that again. You can only serve God on earth as God's servants on earth interpret God's word to you. So if you make fun, ridicule, do away with the prophets and the messengers of God that's sent to bring forth the plan of God, the character of God, the nurture of God, there ain't no way that God will accept you into his bride. So what does Satan do? Always after the beloved city, after the place of government. Oh, Lord. Now look, here they'll come. Millions. And they will be so many. And they will en masse from the four quarters of the earth. They will move at such a rapid rate. And here's the bride. And here's Jesus. And the fellow believers that have made up their minds. And here he will let it happen. He allows the bride. Let me go over here and go over. Let me run and hide. You couldn't be in a safer place, bride. You're in Jerusalem. You're in the beloved city. You're in the castle. The saints' camp is a castle. Oh, the beloved city. A city represented. Now remember, the city itself represented. Oh my. Represented the bride. So the bride's identity is identified with the city as the city's identity is identified with the bride in the millennium and also on the eighth day. And so they are coming against the city and against the bride close to them. They are one and the same. They are one and the same. So they must come against her. They must defy her kingdom. They must defy this governor, because the government in the millennium is placed upon his shoulders. Notice in Psalms 11:6, God refers to this many times as far as fire devouring the wicked. Upon the wicked he shall rain snares, fire and brimstone, and a horrible tempest. This shall be the portion of their cup. Ezekiel 38:22, I will plead against him with pestilence and with blood. I will rain upon him and upon his bands and upon the many people that were with him. Notice now, an overflowing rain and great hailstones, fire and brimstone. Ezekiel 39:6, I will send a fire on Magog and among them that dwell carelessly in the isles, and they shall know that I am the Lord. Now notice, it will not be you and I gathering. This is not the pre-millennium battle that we see with the name written King of Kings and Lord of Lords and the sword proceeding out of his mouth. But this time, fire comes down out of heaven. Out of heaven. Now the merging, the fading of the seventh is merging in now to the dawning of the eighth day. And the annihilation of dispensations in time will be totally consummated by a fire from heaven. Revelation 20:10, of the devil that deceives them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. Now I want you to notice, he is assigned to this place before the white throne judgment ever sets up. Sin is already judged. No need for him to stand before the white throne. He's already condemned. This being that was created in the beginning, a cherubim, a holy angel, the highest order of God, given a place of equality, equality with God on certain avenues. Many things about him that God had so projected into this creation that would make him unlike any of the other angels. He's the only one that we know of that had a desire to be like God. The others had a submissive position, and they were somehow able to fall into that and not want to be God. We have not ever written anywhere in the scripture, anywhere in the message, I've been able to find where any of these lower angels ever made this declaration, I will be like God. Right. Only this one. Yeah. So there was something there when he was created that God, and remember, he was created. He had a day he started. You know the end of the story, don't you? He will have a day when he will end. God says, then the day that thou wast created. Oh, I love to remind him of that every now and then. I love to remind him of his birthday. I don't know how old he is, but no doubt they celebrate his birthday down in hell. I like to celebrate it too when I find out they're having one. Because I like to remind him he was made on a certain day and he will end on a certain time. And I would also like to remind him my soul ain't got no birthday. My theophany ain't got no birthday. It's as eternal as he is eternal. And when there was no devil, I was and you was. So he was created in this great position of authority and glory by his pride, according to Ezekiel, Isaiah rather 14 and Ezekiel 28. By pride he fell, thinking and looking at himself and seeing how great he was. Can't you see why Brother Bram tells us, and the Bible projects it as well, that the way up is down? It's not us looking at ourselves and thinking we're so great and we're so wonderful. My. I'll tell you, friend, if you ever want to get any closer to God, it'll be as if we humble ourselves. That's the only way we get closer to God. That's the only way. Notice then, Isaiah 14:13 actually marks the introduction of sin into the universe whenever he says, I will. So here's the introduction of it into the universe. Not on the earth now, but in the universe. Remember Genesis 1. It catches actually the earth, and it looks out that the earth is in this catastrophe of the condition that it was. But when you look at Isaiah, you look at Ezekiel, you look at some of the other scriptures, and it looks out that the earth in the beginning of whatever God made it to be, that it was totally different than Genesis 1. It appears that Genesis 1 was after some cataclysmic something had taken place. No doubt, this is where Brother Man gets it in the seals, that the seeds was laying on the earth from some former civilization. Oh my, I don't need to get into this, but if you ever wondered why, and all the fossils that they don't find none of people. Why is it that all the fossils that they find, thousands and thousands of them, it's all animals? Why aren't there just groves and droves of people? How come they didn't find that out here gray? How come they don't find them in Siberia? How do they didn't find them in different places? Well, we'll get into that later. That's just a little something to think about. As I tell, it doesn't ruin it to the rest of y'all. Y'all don't think about nothing else the rest of the service. But now remember, he was given this great position and authority because of his pride, then allowing this to be exalted. Then Jesus says this in Luke 10:18, and he said unto them, after the disciples had returned and casting out devils and healing the sick, he said, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. So he makes the earth and the air and the atmosphere a tireless adventure by which he projects after the fall the display of his own character. Because in him is the seat of confusion. In him is the seat of deceit. Can't you see why the politics is of the devil? Politicians, there may be some good people that get in there, but most of them ain't going to be good when they come out. Because they're going to lie to you. They want to lie to me. Don't tell me, remind you of the devil. The devil will want to tell you, you need me to help you. You need me to run your life. Oh, sure I do. Every time I ever got messed up is when I listened to him. I don't need him to run my life. I need Jesus to run my life. But Satan is a politician. He'll convince you that you need him and you need to do this and the other. And then he'll turn his back on you. Oh my, but Jesus don't lie. Jesus don't have crooked politics. He's straight and he tells the truth. What's this in Ephesians 2:2? Where in time past you walked according to the course of this world. According to the prince of the power of the air. The spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. 1 Peter 5:8. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion, walking about, seeking whom he may devour. After now the creation, then he enters into the serpent in order to bring his desire and his achievement closer to the earth. Oh God, help us. That he would be able to be projected into the human race. Then later the Adamic covenant was issued. Man could not keep the Adamic covenant. This is why God changes it. The Noahic covenant, man could not keep that. But when God goes to dealing with Abraham, then we come into a very heartstring of God. So it's not, if you will, I will. If you do this, I do that. But now we see part of the mystery of Christ unfolded. Oh my. Out of the very heart, the secret place in God's own heart. And then God opens up a part of his own mystery when he tells Abraham, as for me, my covenant is with thee. Not I want you to pray about it. I want you to think about it. Go down to Free Will Baptist and see if you got a free will and then come up here and let me know what you decide. But God said, before you ever made a choice, Abraham, I made mine. My covenant is with you. You're on my side. Oh, glory. I love you. And everybody that blesses you, I'll bless. Everybody that curses you, I'll curse. Notice then, here begins this long warfare between these two kings and these two kingdoms. In John chapter 12, verse 31, Jesus said, now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. John 14:30. Hereafter, I will not talk much with you, for the prince of this world cometh and hath nothing in me. St. John 16:11. A judgment because the prince of this world is judged. 2 Corinthians 4:4, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not. Now he's a prince. He's a prince. Now when he moves up into the church age, Paul calls him a god. So he's no longer just in the working office of prince. He's a god. Remember the Ram tells us in the God of this evil age that in this age, He's crowned the God of this age. Who crowns him? His wife, of course. Who crowns Jesus? His wife, of course. Glory! Then the desire that he's had down through the ages to impersonate God. If God wanted a wife, he wanted a wife. If God wanted a church, he wanted a church. If God wanted the earth, he wanted the earth. Notice this. Paul says it again, where in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, not according to the seed of this world. Because the seed wasn't in you, but the course was. According to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. So he became the head of vast, vast multitudes of demons, which were originally angels in the presence of God, at which they will be able to dispatch at his commands, but the things he desires to accomplish and achieve. And the Lord Jesus allows him to go. Then all of a sudden, one day, a baby is born. Through the breaking of a womb and the creation of a blood cell. In Hebrews 2:14, for as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him. Now listen to this, we don't like this part of the verse, but it's true for now. That had the power of death, that is the devil. Now listen to me, children. I don't care how godly, how holy, how righteous you are. Satan still has the power of death. He still has the power. How can saints go? How do they go? God don't kill them. Satan has the power of death. But because he takes God's children, God will make him pay. Now, because the power of death existed in man under the auspices of Satan's rule, God himself must come in order to reverse the power of death and take it away from the devil. And that was not come in angelic form. It was not come in theophany form. It was come in human form. Because the human form, the flesh, the sustenance of the earth, is what still lays under this curse. So he must come and take this curse upon himself. He could not do it in the form of theophany. Theophany cannot die. He could not come to the earth and die as a theophany. He could not give his life. Theophany does not have blood. Theophany does not have the things that a human being has. So he must come and be partaker of the earth. So when he come out of the earth and he ate of the fruits and the vegetables and the Mediterranean diet, he would have taken of the substance of the earth into his own body. And as he grew from a little child to a young man to a teenager, and as he grows to become a young man, older and older he's getting, one day he goes down to the river and he receives the fullness of the Godhead bodily. He heals the sick, raises the dead, but he must disguise himself so Satan won't know exactly who he is. Why? He's got to be able to get the keys of death. He can't deceive like the devil can, but he can have the mystery of his form. He can have the mystery of his purpose. So he hid the mystery of his purpose in the body, and he hid it further in death, and he hid it in the grave. Oh man! But how alarmed the devil must have been when there was a knock on hell's door, and Jesus goes down into hell. Hallelujah! And the prophet said, he said, oh, you're here. Yes, I have arrived. Glory to God, I have arrived. Amen, I have arrived. And I want the keys of death and hell. For as much as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same. That through death, he might destroy him that had the power of death. That'd be weird, wouldn't it? You go to a hospital, the doctor says, you need surgery. And the doctor says, I'm going to be operated on for you. I'm going to take my gallbladder out for you. You're going to say, can I have a second opinion? You see, we don't think this way. But this is the way he thought. This is what he knew. This is the only way to destroy death. destroyed death and the power of him that hath death to the power of death. Allow your body to feel the pains of death. Then when you take death into your bosom, Arnold von Wink, Lord, you will annihilate death. But Brother Donnie, you just preached Sister Helen's funeral last week. We buried saints everywhere. But you see, death is like that turtle that Brother M talked about. He's just kind of creeping along. They chopped his head off, but he was still moving, and he looked at his brother and said, "He's dead. He just don't know it." Kind of like a snake, you know, you run over him. Of course, you good saints know I'm no, y'all don't do that. But anyway, you cut the head off that dude, man, he'll lay out there and move all day long till the sun goes down. Woo! And when the sun goes down, that old devil, I mean that old snake, will quit moving around. And the devil think, man, he said he destroyed me 2,000 years ago. I've killed this one. I've done that. I've done that. He's dead, but he just don't know it yet. Amen. He's dead, but he don't know it. He ain't even got the keys to his own house. Jesus took them away from him. Watch in Revelation 12:10. And I heard a loud voice in heaven saying, "Now has come the salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night." This is part of who he is. A liar, a deceiver, an accuser. Didn't say he had facts. Just says he's an accuser. Anybody ever been accused of doing things you didn't do? That's one good thing about a saint. If they're really in the stream of blood, they ain't got no written past. You couldn't find one speck of evidence against them. I don't care where you look. Woo! Oh my. Why? Because they've been so buried in Christ Jesus that God said, "I don't even remember. I don't remember any time him ever been anything but a son of God." Oh, but the devil said, "I can remember this. Really? I ain't got no record of it. I remember that he lied. Really? I ain't got no record of it nowhere. I remember that he done this and that and the other." Oh my. God says, "The only thing I know about him is he was in my mind before there was ever a speck of stardust. She was in my mind before the world began, and she is not an attribute of time. She is part of the eternal." And I know one thing, my children ain't got no past, but they sure have got a powerful future. Notice this in verse 11. "They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto death." Amen. Notice this enemy. Here he comes at the consummation of Gog and Magog. Revelation 20:10, "The devil that deceived him was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone where the beast and the false prophet are. Into this lake of fire he will go." Notice what God said in Isaiah 14:13. "Thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation on the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High." And God says, "Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell." Verse 13 and 14 is what he wants. Verse 15 and 16 is what he gets. Oh, glory. Oh, my hell and wrath and all judgment, all that. That might be what I really deserve, but that ain't what I want to get. Amen. I ain't going to get what I deserve. I ain't going to get what justly should come to me. I got mercy. I got grace. I got forgiveness. Now look how little he will be in his end. "Thou shalt be brought down to hell."
to the sides of the pit, and they that see thee shall narrowly look upon thee. Narrowly look upon thee.
Amen.
And consider thee, saying, is this the man? Not the God. For they have no other gods before him. Now the real overcomers in this day must recognize him as a man now in their lives and not give him godship in the dominion of their heart. One God, friends. We have one God in our lives. That's all we want. We don't want to split kingdom, Satan on one side, God on the other. I want to narrowly look upon him as a man right now, Brother Dan. I want to look at him and tell him he's a liar, he's deceitful, he's rotten, he's corrupt, he has no good motives, he has no love, not real genuine love. I want to look at him right now. Oh, glory. I don't want to wait till then. I want to see right through him and see how little he really is. Is this the man that made earth to tremble? And did shake kingdoms, that made the world as a wilderness, and destroyed the cities thereof, that opened not the house of his prisoners. All the kings of the nations, even all of them, lie in glory, every one in his own house. But thou art cast out of thy grave like an abominable branch, as the remnant of those that are slain, thrust through with a sword, that go down to the stones of the pit, the carcass trodden under feet. Let's read one more verse. Revelation chapter 20, verse 11. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away. And there was found no place for them. Now Satan is already dealt with, thrown into the lake of fire. Then God moves John from Satan being cast into the abyss. Notice no key mentioned this time. No way out. He stays there until he's annihilated. 500 years, 500 million years. I have no idea. I ain't worrying about it. I'll be enjoying the presence of my King and my brothers and sisters, however long it is. Now watch this. The message of grace. Brother Bam says, remember, the first judgment seat was upon the earth. It was in the Garden of Eden. And the last judgment seat will be upon the earth at the end time. The white throne. Do you understand the white throne judgment is not in heaven? It's not in heaven. They didn't sin in heaven. They sinned here. So if you commit a murder in Tennessee, they going to take you to Arizona to try you? New Mexico? Some other state? You committed the crime in Tennessee, then the law of Tennessee will prosecute you. Right? They committed their sins here. He will set his white throne on the earth and be judged from here. Let's stand. Praise the Lord. Now what if there was a passage of scripture in the Bible or a quote in the message that said, there will come a man in the last days, his name will be Donald E. Reagan Jr. He'll be serpent seed. He'll be a deceiver, a liar, be born in Kentucky and move to Tennessee, be a preacher in the message. And then it just so happened that when I was born, my mom and daddy called me Donald E. Reagan Jr. But yet my name was on the Book of Life. But yet my whole life, being in the message, I would live underneath people taking that quote and saying that was me. Now what if that was your name, or yours, or any of you sisters, any of you young people? But yet God drawed on your heart and pulled on your heart and God gave you a new birth. Would you still serve him? Would you live for him? Would you say, there's no use. There's no need for me to. I mean, the prophet of God told me. Really? Are you sure that's you?
Think about it.
Sure there's not another one with that same name, with the same circumstances, that's not you? Many of you would never come back. If some way you just type in your name in the message, you say, oh my God. Oh my God, that's, oh Lord, deceiver, liar, hypocrite. I knew it. And yet, God speaks directly to the devil and tells him, you were created. You're going to have an end. You're going to hell. I'm going to annihilate you. And all of that, you're going to the lake of fire. On and 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 on. He tells him. Don't even affect him. Don't even slow him down. Well, I don't reckon that there is another Donald Lee Reagan Jr. in the message, but if they are, I feel sorry for him. Because if someday that poor old guy finds his name in the message, and it ain't talking about me. I don't care if it gives my birthday. I don't care if his mama's name was Betty and his daddy's name was Don. It don't make a difference to me. The seed of God's in my soul calling. Huh?
Yes, sir, that's it.
You're going to identify yourself with something. Why not identify with the heavenly? My goodness, friends, he's doomed. Do you understand? He's fighting a losing battle, and yet he acts like the winner. And we're fighting a battle that we can't lose, and we act like the losers. How long has it been since you folks turned over to the back of the book and read? We win. We win. If you can understand it, we have already won. He just don't know it yet. He's dead, but he just don't know it. God bless you.
Hallelujah.
Don't you appreciate his grace? Now I'm going to ask you, even before the millennium, right now, I want to make my stand today. I want my family to go. But if they don't, they ain't stopping me. There's not anybody that I know that I wouldn't want to go. I certainly wouldn't want all of you to go. But if you're not going to go, you're not stopping me. I want to go with you. But if you want to go, I will go without you. That's not being mean. That's only me reflecting your choice. I want you to go with me. But if you don't want to go, I'll see you around. Because I'm going for Jesus. That's the way you feel? I don't need, don't misunderstand me. I don't need a perfect environment. I do not need to live in a world where there is no sin. No television. It'd be nice. It'd be nice to live in a world where everybody dressed right. And lived for all that sort of thing. But I don't need that kind of world to be a Christian. Somehow my God looked at the dispersion of his seeds down through time. And he said, I need some that'll live in the most dreadful, sinful, darkest age it'll ever be. He could have put me in Noah's day. I'd have been building the ark. I've been one of Noah's sons. Ham, Shem, and Donnie. Move over, Japheth. Here I come. Right? God wanted me to live in Abraham. It'd been Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and Donnie. Right? But somehow he wanted me to live in this day. He wanted you to live in this day. In a day when people have lost their senses, that they don't know what's right and wrong anymore. Everything is a gray area. Used to is pretty much, you know, black and white. Not anymore. People don't know what's right, they don't know what's wrong, they don't know what's sin, they don't know what a real marriage is, and they're not sure if it's a man and a woman, or, you know, two men or two women, or they're not sure what it is anymore. They're not sure what to stand for, they're not sure what to believe. How pitiful. But God said, I want some of my children. I don't want them to all be preachers. I don't want them to all be old people. I want to scatter some down through there that'll be young men and young women. They'll be the most ridiculed young people
that have ever lived for me down through time. There will never be so many temptations as there will be to that last day. They'll have it on their phones, on their iPads. They'll constantly be bombarded with sin and temptation. But they'll overcome it all. You say, why has it got so bad? One reason, really. Brother Bam said, God allowed this age to get this sinful and this bad to prove to the devil she's not the kind of woman he was. You know what that tells me? There must have been some debating going on in heaven. Not betting now, debating. God and the devil was having a conversation and God said, my seed will live right. And the devil said, ain't no way. Ain't no way. God said, it can. You guys say, ain't no way. You've got them protected. You fill them with the Holy Ghost and let them live. So say, well, let me do this in time. You say, you go ahead and do whatever you want to do. Corrupt their food. Go ahead. Take all the nutrients out of the earth. The air. Let them breathe this, breathe that. Let them introduce more and more and more chemicals into their body. And they'll get cancer from this and TB from that and this and this and this and this and this. And then you go ahead and tell them I've done it. But when you do, my real elect will say, the Lord give and the Lord took away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And Satan said, they won't do it. He said, they will do it. I'll make it so horrible that I'll cause so much confusion in the church. They'll say, there ain't no right to live or not. Go ahead. My people will stay true. So he let it degrade. Every year it gets worse. But it's all to prove one thing. Who you are. I hope you can understand this. I'm glad I had enough confidence in his word to be able to let me live in this day. Not confidence in me, not confidence in you, but confidence in his word. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, I've been looking at these things. As I said in the opening of the service, I can't say that I truly understand how people could do this. But yet, I do understand in a better way how people can so abruptly walk away from a truth that they've set around for 20, 30, 40 years, whatever it is, and turn their back on it and no longer want to be a part of it. Really, when we look at this kingdom of heaven coming down on the earth, and they with their visible eyes will see this. They will have known that they have allowed, they themselves have been allowed to live for 1,000 years. And they still won't want to live right. A perfect environment, a perfect society, a perfect government, no sickness, no death, no corruption, no wickedness. And they still won't want to live right. It makes me understand how much more clearly then that the bride will sit there in this judgment seat that we just read about. The books was opened and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And I saw the dead, both small and great, stand before God. And there they will be judged. And the prophet said they will be judged by the very people that preached to them. So people we've witnessed to, people we've went to church with, that have turned their back on the message, one day we'll look them face to face, eye to eye. Discernment of Spirit, 1960 in Phoenix, the prophet said, as being ministers, we must be judges. And we will stand there and judge the people, he said, that we have preached to. And their eternal destination will be determined by the attitude that they have taken toward the word we've preached them. All these people around the message that don't believe in preachers. And it won't be Brother Branham they'll walk up there against. It'll be all these preachers they've blasted and made fun of. Them preachers will stand right there before them at the white throne. All those that's clicked on our website and made fun of me and laughed at us. And those that have come here to the church. It won't be the last time they'll see me. They'll see me again. Oh God, don't let me be there, Lord God, on the other side of that throne. Please, Lord Jesus. Let me live for you now, Lord. Let me stand true, Lord God. No matter what I go through, no matter what I deal with, Lord, what would that be compared to that white throne judgment? Help us tonight, Lord Jesus. For we know the prophet said you could beg and you can scream and you can plead for mercy, but there will be no mercy given. For it is not a mercy seat, but a judgment seat. So we beckon and ask for your mercy tonight. Forgive us of our sins, our failures, our shortcomings, our unbelief, Lord God. Can you say amen to that, saints? Can we just raise our hands? Lord, forgive us of our shortcomings, our doubts, our fears, our frustrations, our worries. Forgive us, Lord God. Give us of your mercy. Give us strength to live right in this wicked, sinful day. No matter how many turn their backs, Lord, help us to stand true. And if we stand true in the kingdom of God, then when the kingdom of heaven comes upon the earth, then our trust will be rewarded. The sons of God will rule and reign with Christ for 1,000 years. Grant it, Lord Jesus. Oh, praise be to God. Hey, let's sing when King Jesus comes on this earth to live again. Praise God. Are you longing for that hour? Oh, thank you, Lord. Amen. When King Jesus comes to live with us again, He will show His righteous love to every man. Wars and strife will all be past. There'll be peace on earth at last. When service Saturday night at 7 o'clock. Be having communion. Come back and expect the Lord move with us again. You're home for this great day. Go in the fear of God. All the armies of the world will someday
and they'll beat their swords and weapons into plowshares, and the Prince of Peace will give the last command. When King Jesus comes to live with us again, there will be